Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It's Tuesday, March 18th, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, new reports of the NSA recording 100% of telephone calls. Then, a professor calls for climate change skeptics to be put in jail. And what would you do if your child was strip searched at school? That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
You're not going to ride around in a bunch of black war wagons and have your way with our wives. When you start this, we're going to stomp your ass into the ground.
Well, remember when the NSA said they were just collecting that metadata? Well, they lied. They've been collecting 100% of an entire country's phone conversations. This is according to some leaked documents by Edward Snowden. The NSA's Mystic program has been recording 100% of a country's phone calls, although the Washington Post won't report which country that is. They're honoring the request of U.S. officials. But the surveillance program's retro tool allows for retrieval of up to 30 days worth of entire phone conversations nationwide. Some of the documents provided by Snowden suggest that high-volume eavesdropping may be soon extending to other countries as well, if it hasn't already. Based on Retro's internal reviews, the NSA has strong motive to deploy it elsewhere because Retro is uniquely valuable when an analyst first uncovers a new name or a telephone number of interest. It'll give them up to 30 days of recorded conversations in hand. The NSA can pull an instant history of the subject's movements, associates, and plans. And also, curiously, other U.S. intelligence agencies also have access to Retro. Now, of course, this Retro program includes sweeping up the phone conversations of Americans as well. And this is why these Snowden leaks just seem so fishy to me, because it's just this slow drip of information and it's just sort of desensitizing us to the fact that we are under mass surveillance at all times. First, we learned it was just a small metadata collection, and now as this progresses, we are learning that it's actually quite overreaching, and it's going to be now extending to other countries. It's collecting up, vacuuming up content of Americans' phone conversations as well. Total disregard for the Constitution. But that's why, you know, something's fishy with this Snowden leaks. It's just a little weird to me. It feels like it's a mission to desensitize us and to have us just accepting of our constitutional rights being violated in the name of national security, which of course is not to protect you or I, it's to protect the state. Now, another place where your rights, apparently I had no idea, where your constitutional rights do not apply, private schools. A mother testified in a federal court this week that school officials in Pennsylvania told her that they were within their rights to strip search her daughter, asserting that this girl doesn't have constitutional rights because she's in a private school. Now, this incident occurred last year. Officials ordered the girl to remove her shirt because they suspected she had a cell phone on her person. Now, such devices are considered contraband at this school, which is described as a cost-free private co-educational home and school for pre-K through 12th grade students from the families of low income, limited resources, and social needs. So it's not an elite private institution. It is a private school for lower income families who apparently aren't welcome to having any constitutional rights. Now, the court complaint states that the school's nurse touched her all over her body, including her chest, feeling for a smartphone. No phone was found. Now, the mother, Trina Howes, is suing the school, saying that the procedure was conducted without her knowledge or presence. And when Howes called a student home supervisor, she was told that the girl doesn't have constitutional rights because she's in a private school and that the school is backed up by the Derry County Police Department. And it is what it is, Ms. Howes. And that's, we're hearing that a lot, you know, it is what it is. I'm the master, you're the slave, and these institutions are getting away with this action, basically just saying, hey, it is what it is. Now, Howe's complaint states that her daughter's rights under the 4th and 14th Amendment should ensure personal security and bodily integrity and freedom from governmental intrusion. But a local law professor questioned whether that case will succeed because the Constitution protects against government intrusion, but not necessarily against private citizens or organizations. So they are seeking in excess of $75,000 plus damages and attorney's fees. But there are going to be, you're going to be hearing of even more fines and jail time for all of you climate deniers out there if a professor gets his way. A professor at the Rochester Institute of Technology is calling for the incarceration of any American who actively disagrees that climate change is solely caused by human activity. Philosophy professor Lawrence Torricello argues that malignant individuals are collectively organizing a campaign funding misinformation about climate change. He's adding that science misinformation surrounding climate change should be considered a crime. And he asks readers to consider cases in which science communication is intentionally undermined for political and financial gain. Monsanto, chemtrails, no, he's not talking about that. But according to a Gallup poll conducted earlier this month, two-thirds of Americans do not believe that the colder temperatures the country has been experiencing is related to human-caused climate change or global warming. This means two-thirds of Americans would be at risk of being deemed as criminals for expressing these beliefs. And the latest person he could lock up would be the Greenpeace co-founder Patrick Moore, who testified in front of a Senate committee last month that there is no scientific proof that human emissions of carbon dioxide are the dominant cause of the minor warming of the Earth's atmosphere over the past 100 years. And according to the latest temperature data from two U.S. government bureaucracies, NASA and NOAA, the pause or hiatus in global warming is still ongoing. So there you go, Professor Torricello. Lock up those guys. They are definitely thought criminals working for our government. Ooh, who knew? Now, a lot of people are asking about Crimea's vote to secede from the Ukraine. Is it legal? Well, it depends on who you ask. Depending on who answers that question, it was either an unconstitutional split manipulated by Russia or a move that was consistent with international law, upholding the region's right to govern itself. Now, the U.S. and its European allies say Sunday's referendum vote violated Ukraine's newly reforged constitution. Moscow asserts that the Ukrainian president Viktor Yanukovych was ousted in an illegal coup, which ended Ukraine's constitutional authority. Now, the U.S. is buying into the argument of the Ukraine government, which is that the secession of Crimea from Ukraine is not constitutional under the terms of the Ukrainian constitution, which was, by the way, just rewritten by the interim government that the U.S. and the EU helped to put in power, mind you. So they're saying that this new constitution we just drafted, you violated it. Now, the alternative argument is that all peoples have a right of self-determination, and that if the people of Crimea choose not to be part of the Ukraine, that is their prerogative in the same way that it was the choice of colonial powers to break away from the imperial powers that claimed them. So again, like Ron Paul said, they've got the law on their side. This is according to international law, not to this new constitution that's been drafted by this interim government that's questionably put in place after a violent coup overthrew their democratically elected president. Now, on the speculation about the crash, the Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, some people are wondering, did it crash? Was it hijacked? Did it land somewhere? Did the pilot maliciously fly the plane into the ocean? No one knows, but one speculator is an actual pilot. He is now saying that perhaps there was a fire on board the plane and that a pilot's standard operating procedure in such a scenario could account for almost all of the evidence surrounding the missing plane. He said, "I tend to look for a simpler explanation, and I find it with a 13,000-foot runway at Pulau Langkawi. The most likely explanation for that sharp turn was to make an emergency landing at a nearby airport." And he added that a landing gear fire is also entirely possible, especially on underinflated tires, which is common on large airliners during a hot night on a long runway. And if the blowout occurred during takeoff, the resulting fire would burn slowly, but eventually produce horrific, incapacitating smoke. thinking the flight crew was probably overcome by smoke, and the plane continued on the heading, probably on autopilot, until it ran out of fuel or the fire destroyed the control surfaces and it crashed. So it's a very simple and plausible explanation, but the belief of investigators remains that the plane was deliberately diverted and that foul play was involved. The fact that the flight change was manually typed into a computer, most likely programmed by someone in the plane's cockpit who was very knowledgeable about an airplane system, has increased their focus on the plane's captain and the first officer rather than a passenger or a hijacker. Now, residents of a small island in the Maldives have reported seeing a low-flying plane, and Australia and Indonesia have also agreed to split up their search over large swaths of the Indian Ocean. Well, coming up after the break, another change to Obamacare is going to allow insurance companies to keep even more of your money.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life, where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality, freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
Many anthropologists and archaeologists believe that before man even discovered the power to harness and use fire, we were involved in agrarian activities. That is, taking the seeds of plants and then replanting them to produce more. The very foundation of our modern civilization and human culture is centered around the planting and cultivation of edible plants.
Here are some of the amazing deals at InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com. The Survival Seed Vault by My Patriot Supply features only the finest survival heirloom seeds for a robust and hardy garden, even in the toughest times. We also have starter varieties of the deluxe seed packages for fruit, salad, salsa, peppers, medical herbs, and more. Go to the InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com.
And remember, the revolution against tyranny is growing.
Well, today we're reporting on another young banker's suicide. This will be the 12th this year in the financial world and another connection to J.P. Morgan. This time, the latest death occurred on March 12th when 28-year-old Kenneth Bolando was found on the sidewalk outside his six-story Manhattan apartment building after he allegedly jumped. Now, before moving into his last position as an investment banker for Levi Capital, Bolando worked as an investment banker at J.P. Morgan Chase. His brother, John Bolando, also works at J.P. Morgan as an investment officer, and the New York Post stated that multiple emails by John Bolando were presented as evidence during Senate hearings regarding the London whale trading scandal. Now, Kenneth Bolando's death marks the 12th time this year that an employee in the financial world has taken his or her own life around the globe. Now, the fact that many of these suicides have been from leaping from buildings has suicide prevention experts puzzled. According to the chief medical officer of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, jumping is much less common as a method for suicide in general. So I'm struck by the number that have occurred in recent months in this industry. Now, police don't suspect a third party and haven't said whether Bolando left a note or any of these bankers, any of these suicides, actually. And to commit suicide in such an open way without leaving a note seems puzzling, and it's not adding up for the experts either. Now, it could very well be that these bankers all just committed suicide, but perhaps they also knew too much. Now, British think tanks are predicting a financial catastrophe for the U.S. They're entitling it the government debt iceberg, saying, you know, we think we owe $17 trillion to debtors, but it's more like $120 trillion when you get legit with the accounting. And we've interviewed many financial analysts who are predicting a major financial crisis looming for the United States. But rather than address that, rather than address the issues with the economy, Obama is figuring out even more ways to siphon off taxpayer dollars and give it to the globalists. This time, Obama has proposed another rule change to the Affordable Care Act. This one will allow insurers to keep an additional 2% of premiums for purposes other than medical care. Now, this is supposedly to cover higher administrative costs in 2015. So basically, what this could result in is higher out-of-pocket costs for the consumers solely for the benefit of the insurance industry, basically forcing Americans through tax penalties to give insurance companies an even greater percentage of their premiums for costs that aren't even related to medical care, more for their fees and less for what they'll actually pay out for your health care. So once again, it is not affordable health care. It is health insurance that ensures your money is going to be going to the globalists. Please show Obama how much you approve and support his Affordable Care Act at the voting booth this year. Now, stick around because Alex Jones is going to be speaking with Harry S. Dent Jr. He has some pretty explosive predictions for the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
The globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula sourced from powerful organic herbs and then concentrated for maximum potency. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. For a limited time, we are offering 15% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com to introduce you to this powerful supplement. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsLife.com. My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere from all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents. Radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Here's the headline out of CNBC. Get ready for the Dow at 16,000 by 2016, says a pro. And he broke that down with them a few weeks ago, so I wanted to get him on. I really appreciate him coming on HarryDent.com. And he wants to get into 2014, the year of defaults for China, and Germany falls off the demographic cliff, and how that affects us here, and when we hit our baby boomer demographic cliff, and more. Mr. Dent, thanks for coming on.
Nice to be here, Alex. Well, break it down for us. Well, first off, I'd like to cover this Dow at 6,000 by 2016 and then get into the demographic cliff.
Well, you know, I'll explain other reasons, but there's a big pattern in the stock market that should be more obvious to people. We've seen three bubbles now, one that peaked in 2000 and 2007, and then now each bubble has gone to new highs, but each crash in between has gone to new lows. So this is called a megaphone pattern. It's a very similar pattern to how the stock market peaked the last time a generation peaked in the late 60s, early 70s. There were three tops at higher highs and then a big crash in 73, 74. This would project that the Dow is going to hit about 17,000 in the next couple months, and then it's going to fall in the next couple years to just below 6,000. So that's a bigger crash than last time. That's like a 65% drop. So this is not something you should listen to your stockbroker and say, oh, just stay the course. Stocks will come back. When stocks have peaked with major generational spending peaks like in 1929 and 1968, stocks did not get back to those levels for 24 to 25 years. So we're in, I think, for the largest downturn in our life. It's going to be very much like the 1930s, what I call a big debt detox. So people really need, I actually took a 70% cut in my advance from my publisher to get the demographic cliff book out early this year, because I think we're close to a top here, and I think people need to make some very hard decisions.
I agree. I want to talk about that book again, but expanding on this, you're not the only analyst saying this, and we see governments creeping towards the pension funds, both the public and private, the IRAs, all of it. They're going to, quote, save it, I guess, when the plunge comes by taking it over and taxing it. Seems to be what they're openly saying they're going to do. I don't think a lot of this is hidden, but I'm not hearing a larger discussion of it.
Well, you know, I mean, people should be worried. I mean, taxes are going to have to go up. The government has promised entitlements it can never, ever, ever pay, especially in a difficult economy that I'm painting and seeing for the next 6 to 10 years. Our population forecasts are much higher than they're going to actually be. Births are falling. Immigration falls in times like this. And this is what happened in the 1930s. So yeah, people, I mean, taxes are going to go up in all different types of ways, and especially more affluent people. If you don't protect your wealth from this bubble burst and protect your wealth from taxes, you're going to be in for a big surprise in the next several years.
I want to get more into that and what your book breaks down, the technicals, but specifically, how would you protect your wealth for the average person?
Well, you know, here's the thing to understand that we warn people about. This is only happens once in a lifetime. It's a bubble boom bursting, a debt bubble bursting. And when that happens, all financial assets go down. And all you have to do is go back and look at the crash in 2008. Stocks went down here and around the world, large cap, small cap, Asia, Europe, emerging countries. Real estate went down. Commodities went down. Gold and silver went down. And everybody was told, well, you can protect yourself with gold and silver, not in a deflationary crash, an inflationary recession or crisis like the 1970s. Gold and silver was great. It will not do well in this. So you basically have to take your profits off the table, get safe. I mean, you can short the markets if you want, but that takes some guts and that's risky. But if you just get in safe investments, when everything falls, you're going to be able to buy stocks, you know, 20, 30, 40 cents on the dollar. I mean, real estate, 30, 40 cents on the dollar and everything else. So that's the trick. That's what Joseph Kennedy did in the Great Depression. He got out of the stock market at the top. When his shoeshine boy was telling him to buy stock, he said, oh, man, this thing got to be over. Same thing. I had every cab driver giving me internet tips in late 99. I knew that one was about over. And then he just bought when things were down, and he made a fortune.
That's right. And so it's an opportunity for those that are positioned beforehand. Looking at that, though, obviously there's a race devaluing currencies, and I guess the establishment thinks, well, if there's actually a depressionary thing coming, that will somehow balance out. How does the inflation on the dollar and other currencies then tie into a deflationary situation in the rest of the economy?
Well, you know, the one thing, Alex, deflation is good for the dollar. When we started to deflate and debt started to deleverage in late 2008, the U.S. dollar went up 27%. It was the only thing that did go up versus other currencies. Now, the reason this happens, people want to understand, and this is something we have to argue with the gold bugs about constantly, but the U.S. dollar fell 58% from 1985 at its high in the Reagan era down to the beginning of this recession in early 2008 where it bottomed. 58%. The reason is we created massive amounts of debts, trade deficits, and now QE on top of that. We've created massive amounts of money, and that devalues, that debases the currency. We debase the dollar in the boom. When you get this bubble burst, when debt deleverages, you're just throwing money. When financial assets go and a Dow goes from 17,000 to 6,000, that is destroying two-thirds of people's wealth in the stock market overnight. Less dollars chasing the same goods is the definition of deflation, and that's how you get deflation. But less dollars also means they're more scarce, and we're reversing the debasement of our currency. So really, this crisis is exactly what would put the dollar back in balance, would make real estate more affordable, sure, for young families again, stocks better, long-term investments, all this sort of stuff. We need this reset, and governments just don't want it to happen because nobody wants the music to stop on their chair. You know, everybody wants the crisis to hit the next administration.
Sure.
So central banks and politicians around the world just keep printing money to cover over the crisis, keep the banks from falling over. The banks would have gone under, a lot of them. We had a 1930s scenario building. And you know what? As bad as the 30s were, we had a huge debt detox. And we basically cut the debt from 190% of GDP in this country to 60% in the next several years. And that allowed us to grow again.
A 30-year boom. 30-year boom.
Yeah. Yeah, incredible boom to follow that. We came roaring out of it. We're not coming out of this. I cover in chapter 2 in the book, I talk about the Japan coma economy. Japan has been doing this QE stuff since 1997 when they went off their demographic cliff, and I was one of the only people in the world that predicted the downturn of Japan in 1989. And they've been doing QE ever since. They have not deleveraged their,
sure,
debt. They have not rebalanced their economy.
Sure. I mean, undoubtedly you're right. That's why they call you, you know, top pro in CNBC. But let's just expand on this then in layman's terms for folks. What, with what the global policies are right now versus what we think they should be, what do you see happening the next few years? Does this happen overnight? Does it happen in a process? I mean, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but what do you see happening?
Well, we do kind of have a crystal ball. We predicted this downturn, Alex, by the way, my first book in 1989. We predicted the simultaneous collapse of Japan in the 90s and the greatest boom in history and the greatest stock market surge in history for the United States and Europe. What we do is we look at demographics. People enter the workforce age 20, earn and spend more money, raising their kids and families, buying houses, borrowing money, and they peak at age 46. Now, everybody doesn't, but the average person spends the most money in their life at age 46. So the simplest indicator I have of many, but it is, I call it the spending wave, we just move forward the birth index in any developed country and move it forward 46 years for that peak in spending where people will have the highest impact, the highest numbers. And that would have told me, and it did tell me in 1988, that we had a boom from 1983 with baby boomers that was going to last until about 2007, and then the baby bust would slow down our economy, less spending, less house buying, less borrowing, all those things until about 2023. So we predicted these demographic headwinds and that we would go into a crisis starting in 2008, just with demographic. But there's another factor that's equally important. We've seen the greatest debt bubble, which then in turn fueled the greatest real estate bubble in modern history. Debt got up to about 4 times GDP in this country versus 190% at the top of the roaring 29 bubble, so twice as much debt. And that doesn't count $67 trillion in unfunded entitlements.
Well, that's my question. How do those two bubbles collapsing go together? They go down at the same time? Or
yeah. Well, that's what happened. At some point when this QE doesn't work or something triggers, like last time, the subprime crisis in the U.S. triggered stock crashes and debt crises around the world. Because all it takes is a trigger when demographics are slowing and debt is twice as high as it's ever been in history and 4 times if you count entitlements. All it takes is something to pop the bubble.
Thank you for watching the InfoWars Nightly News tonight. We will see you here again tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central.
globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. The key is to be aware of this attack and to fight back against it. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula, sourced from powerful organic herbs harvested around the planet and then concentrated for maximum potency. I've always believed in nutrition and herbs. Super male vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super male vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your super male vitality and other powerful products from InfoWars Life.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.